20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 592 of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your emergency host for the evening, Andy Herman. You can always follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. Usually you would be joined by Mike and Chris and Tyler, but they were unavailable tonight, so I am filling in. And unfortunately for you, you're going to hear me 2 days in a row, as tomorrow I will be joined by the one and only Bailey Burmaster, which I'm really excited about. So tomorrow Bailey and I will kind of go more into a lot of the topics that are kind of up to date, some of the things that have been happening in, potentially in free agency, in the draft, kind of covering what happened during the season with Bailey and some of her biggest takeaways. So really looking forward to that tomorrow. But today I figured I would take just kind of a step back and look at something maybe a little bit different. I wanted to take a look back at the 2016 NFL draft. We're going to be jumping pretty hardcore into draft season. And, you know, one of the things I always say is it takes about 3 to 4 years to truly evaluate a draft class. Well, we're in 2020 now, so we can really take a look back at that 2016 draft class. I kind of did a article earlier this year on this specific topic because of exactly that, because this is kind of the time where you can kind of start evaluating how in this instance Ted Thompson and the Green Bay Packers did in that draft. And I kind of did a deep dive on it. I kind of went pick by pick and went over some of the different options that were available to the Packers and what maybe they could have done differently, what they did well, and some of those sorts of things. So I know we're kind of in the age where as soon as the draft is done, heck, as soon as a pick is done, we're immediately assigning grades and evaluating it. But I really do think that a lot of times it does serve a purpose to go back and look at some of those earlier drafts, like I said, usually about 3, 4, maybe 5 years ago, to see how they kind of panned out and really kind of evaluate it to a little bit of a greater degree. So with that being said, let's take a look today at the 2016 NFL draft. And we will start with the first pick that the Packers had in that draft. As most of you know, that was pick 27, Kenny Clark out of UCLA. And what a pick that ended up being. Certainly one of the centerpieces of the Packers defense. Certainly has been somebody that has continued to progress year after year. Was drafted very young. He's still very much in the prime of his career and set to be a very highly paid defensive tackle in this league. And that will be a contract that will likely get done sometime in the near future, you would think, for the Packers. But I still always like to take a look at these picks and see what other options Green Bay may have had available. So I know a lot of people at the time, myself included, really wanted to see a pick out of UCLA when Green Bay made this selection. It just wasn't Kenny Clark. It was linebacker Miles Jack, who had fallen down draft boards due to kind of some of the injury history that he had had and some of the injury risk that was there with taking him. A lot of a lot of the medicals would show that maybe he wasn't going to last very long in the NFL. His injury history has been pretty good so far throughout his career. It hasn't really been an issue, but that was certainly the concern and one of the major reasons that Miles Jack went from what many people thought was going to be a top 10 selection into the early second round of the draft. So a lot of people, again, myself included, thought that when UCLA was announced that maybe this was going to be Miles Jack, but I think a lot of people were kind of caught by surprise that this was Kenny Clark. And, I don't think a lot of people were clamoring for Kenny Clark, but it certainly has turned out to be a phenomenal pick and certainly somebody that turned out to be better than the defensive linemen that were available at the time, better than the next few picks that were on the board at the time, and certainly better than Miles Jack has played up to this point. So let's kind of go over, first of all, the next five picks in the draft that were taken after Kenny Clark. So Josh Garnett got taken by the 49ers. He was out of the league last year, so that just kind of goes to show that. Robert Kimdichi for the Arizona Cardinals. He also got released and was basically out of the league. Vernon Butler's had a nice but mostly unspectacular career for the Panthers. Jermaine Ifedi, kind of the same thing for the Seattle Seahawks at offensive tackle. And then Emmanuel Ogba, basically the exact same thing. He's bounced around a little bit as well at defensive end. So you talk about, you know, pick 27, Kenny Clark, followed by Garnett, Kimdichi, Butler, Ifedi, and Emmanuel Ogba. And I mean, it's not even close. Kenny Clark is easily the best of those, six selections right there. And then you kind of look at the next five defensive tackles that were selected. So let's just take a look at what was on the board. Let's say Green Bay was destined to take a defensive tackle at that selection. The next five defensive tackles that were selected, Robert Kimdichie, Vernon Butler, as we discussed, then Chris Jones, which is a really interesting conversation, and then Austin Johnson and A'shaun Robinson. So I think the real only conversation here is, who would have been a better selection, Kenny Clark or Chris Jones? Now, I don't think anyone's wishing Kenny Clark away or wishing that they would have selected anyone besides Kenny Clark at that specific selection. But Chris Jones is an interesting conversation. He's been really, really good for Kansas City. Is a better pass rusher than what Kenny Clark is. I would say Kenny Clark's a better run defender. But that's a really interesting conversation to have. Jones has a little bit more size. He's about to get probably franchised by the Chiefs so that they can keep him around, but that's an interesting discussion to have. But if you kind of go back and look at the busts that happened around that pick, not only the ones that we discussed already, but Josh Gardett, Robert Kimdichie, Jermaine Ifedi, Emmanuel Ogba, Kevin Dodd, the Titans outside linebacker from Clemson, also out of the league, did nothing. Noah Spence, edge rusher, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, also did nothing. Reggie Ragland started with the Bills, traded to the Chiefs, a little bit of a resurgence with the Chiefs, but still well below expectations. Kamalai Correa hasn't done much and switched teams as well. Austin Johnson, Jihad Ward. These are all busts that happened pretty quickly after that Kenny Clark kick. So pick. So kudos to Ted Thompson and company for making that selection. He was a really young player, mostly unproven at that point. They were drafting based off of potential. He definitely showed flashes at tape. He definitely showed the ability to hold up at the point of attack, but this was not a rumored player that Green Bay was going to be taking at pick 27. They went pretty aggressively to get him, and it turned out phenomenally. So a lot of credit there. Unfortunately, the next pick that I'm going to talk about is not the exact same scenario in any way, shape, or form. So Green Bay, with their next selection, actually moved up. They took, they traded picks 57, 125, and 248 up to selection 48, where they selected Jason Spriggs, the offensive tackle. And this, to say the least, did not turn out the way that Green Bay and Ted Thompson expected it to turn out. Now, I remember very specifically scouting Jason Spriggs, and you talk about, high RAS score type players, high athletic score, athletic thresholds, and flashes of unique talent on the field. Jason Spriggs had everything from a pure talent standpoint, a high upside standpoint. Jason Spriggs had the talent and the ability to be a top tier tackle in the NFL. There is zero question about that. But I remember very clearly what my biggest concern was with him at Indiana is there were mental lapses that were on the field. You would see him dominate for stretches, and then he would, for whatever reason, just allow a quick pressure or allow somebody just to get by him completely inexplicably that he should have been able to handle easily. And there were these glimpses of complete, mental lapse, or just, I don't know if it was effort or if it was mental or whatever it was. There, he would look great for stretches, and then there would be a player that would beat him clean, and he'd be like, what just happened? And that was my biggest concern with Jason Spriggs at the time. Now, when you're selecting a player like this, the upside screams. There's so much talent, there's so much potential, and tackles with that type of ability don't come along very often. So picking a player like that, hoping that he hits his upside and that he could be a serviceable tackle, that's the Chad Clifton blueprint right there. They took him early in the second round. He had showed flashes of that potential. They basically made him into a dominant left tackle at the NFL level, and the rest was kind of history. That was exactly the blueprint that they were trying to follow with Jason Spriggs. Unfortunately, it just never happened. And that big red flag that I and many others had from watching him at Indiana was what eventually manifested itself at the NFL level. And those lapses and those blown plays became even more prevalent at the NFL level. And he was just never able to play with any consistency. And every once in a while, he would still show some of those flashes that he would, look like he could be maybe not a starting caliber tackle, but at least maybe a swing tackle that you could trust to play left or right tackle in a pinch. It just never worked out. And then he's had the injury issues as well. This was a pretty big swing and a miss. If you look at the next five picks on the board at that point, thankfully not a ton that really went well. Jerron Reed, the defensive tackle for the Seahawks, is a free agent. Nick Martin, the center for the Texans, has never really worked out. Christian Hackenberg may be the only player that could really claim it around that standpoint to be a bigger bust than Jason Spriggs, I guess. Deion Jones, really nice career at inside linebacker for the Falcons. That would have been a complete game changer. And then Sua Cravens, another player that's bounced around to a couple teams and has not done very well for himself either. So there was not a ton there. I will say this, the player that I was really interested in with that pick, I mentioned Miles Jack was kind of my guy with that first pick. Ted Thompson certainly right there picking Kenny Clark over Miles Jack. In this pick, Cody Whitehair was the guy that I liked. And Whitehair was a player who played some tackle at Kansas State, was always expected to move inside either to guard or to center. He's had a nice career for Chicago. The ironic aspect of this is that Green Bay moved up for Jason Spriggs, at least the rumor has it that Green Bay moved up for Spriggs because they were under the impression that the Bears were going to select Jason Spriggs before he was going to fall to them at pick 57. So they moved up ahead of the Bears to take Jason Spriggs. The Bears end up taking Cody Whitehair and unfortunately end up getting the much better end of that deal. You take a look at the next five offensive tackles that were taken, and you start to get an idea of why Green Bay pounced and tried to get on the Jason Spriggs bandwagon. Sean Coleman, LaRaven Clark, Ross Adebambo, not exactly sure the pronunciation there. He's a Seahawk. Gerald Hawkins and Alex Lewis. And you look at the talent at that position after Jason Spriggs. Spriggs was the last offensive tackle that showed that he could potentially be a true starter in this league. And Alex Lewis, LaRaven Clark, Ross Adebambo, they've all had nice cups of coffee in the NFL, but Jason Spriggs was the last tackle on the board that had the ability to be a true starting caliber and potentially Pro Bowl type caliber offensive lineman if he put everything together. There was a massive drop off from that point forward at that tackle position. Green Bay moved up. They got their guy in Spriggs. It didn't work out. That certainly happens from time to time, but certainly a major swing and a miss for the Packers at that point. One other name that was on the board at that point that kind of makes you cringe a little bit, Kevin Byard, the safety for the Titans, who has had a near all-pro caliber career up to this point at the safety position. He was available at that point. He would have been a massive selection for Green Bay there. So that's another one to kind of keep an eye on. At least, I guess, it wasn't Tampa Bay who a few picks later picked a kicker in round two in Roberto Aguayo, and then who ultimately failed miserably and was out of the league very quickly. So I guess they got a little bit more out of Jason Spriggs than Tampa did with Roberto Aguayo at kicker. So I guess some small takeaway there. Let's take a look at the third round selection, and that was Kyler Fackrell at pick 88. This was a pretty solid selection, and I think if you talk about late third round picks, you're still getting a top 100 player, but the talent starts to drop off a little bit at that point. I think getting an edge rusher there who's maybe flashed a little bit from time to time, I thought he had a really good 2018 season. 2019, he kind of ended up being the third and sometimes fourth edge rusher for the Packers. Really struggled earlier in his career, but that 2018 season was pretty nice. I don't think you're going to be too upset about getting a pretty solid rotational pass rusher at the end of the third round at that point in the draft. Certainly not, a super exciting selection. Certainly not somebody that, was a game changer for Green Bay, but a solid player. And you need those type of players on your roster. And I think Kyler Fackrell has been a little bit underrated throughout the course of his career. And it's not like, these type of picks are turning out all the time. That being said, there were certainly some players on the board at this point that would have been some nice selections. But I'll start with edge rushers that were available. The next five edge rushers that went after Kyler Fackrell: Charles Tapper, Matt Judon, Tyrone Holmes, Anthony Zettel, and Daddy Nicholas. Matt Judon certainly has had a really nice career. I think you can make a strong argument that Judon would have been the better selection than Kyler Fackrell there, certainly based off of what Judon's done the last couple years in Baltimore. But overall, you take a look at the next set of edge rushers, you know, one out of five guys were better than Fackrell, and I think Fackrell had the leg up on the other group, you know, the other players on that list. So from an edge rusher standpoint, I think for the most part they're okay with that. And Judon didn't really come on strong and really until the last couple of years, to say the least. So you take a look at the next five picks that were taken immediately after Kyler Fackrell, Javon Hargrave, taken by the Steelers, defensive tackle, CJ Procise, Jacoby Brissett, Brandon Williams, the cornerback, and then Cody Kessler, the quarterback from USC. So the big name on this list for me is Javon Hargrave, who's under the radar, had a really nice career, and is probably going to get paid some pretty nice money this offseason as an unrestricted free agent. He's had a nice career for the Steelers and really has outperformed expectations. CJ Procise has never worked out in Seattle. Brandon Williams, the cornerback, hasn't worked out. Cody Kessler hasn't worked out. Jacoby Brissett's an interesting conversation. You know, he's done an okay job as a backup quarterback, but you know, he doesn't probably move the needle, and he's certainly not an heir apparent type quarterback. Would have been a really nice backup, I think that's fair to say. But you know, you look at those next five picks, and you know, Javon Hargrave's probably the best, but Kyler Fackrell is probably the next. So not a bad selection at that point. A couple other names that were on the board pretty soon after: Joe Schobert, the inside linebacker from Wisconsin, who is, you know, a free agent, and you know, the Packers are rumored to be interested. I think it's safe to say that, you know, Green Bay would have liked to have Schobert over Fackrell, and he would have been a really nice piece at inside linebacker through the course of the last 4 years. Tavon Young, the cornerback from Baltimore, and then, you know, another big one, Justin Simmons, the safety from Denver, who, you know, it really came on strong this past year, and he's going to get franchise tagged in Denver. And, you know, he really had an impressive season and broke out with Vic Fangio this past season in Denver. So he would have been a nice selection as well. But overall, Kyler Fackrell, solid player, four-year player, starter in 2018, at least, you know, was basically the starter in 2018, because Perry and Matthews had rough years, and Fackrell was the best edge rusher on the roster at that point. But a solid selection, if nothing spectacular. Fourth round comes along, pick 131, and Green Bay selects Blake Martinez out of Stanford. Really nice selection here. I mean, it's tough to find an inside linebacker in the fourth round that can have an impact for you. And this is, I know, kind of a hot button topic always with Blake Martinez, is, you know, just how good is he? I think he's going to get paid on the open market this year. And I think if you could find a player like Blake Martinez in the fourth round every year, I promise you, you would take that. And, you know, say what you will about Blake Martinez, and trust me, I've been pretty tough on Blake Martinez. I think it's time to move on. I think Green Bay is going to move on. And I don't think he's had, you know, a great career in Green Bay. I think he's a serviceable but unspectacular player at inside linebacker. But as I mentioned, if you can find a player like Blake Martinez in the fourth round at pick 131, you take him 100 times out of 100. So this is a really nice selection. You take a look at the next five picks on the board, and one's going to catch your eye for sure. The first one was Willie Henry out of Baltimore, Rashard Robinson, Kenneth Dixon, and then, of course, Dak Prescott and Devontae Booker. So Prescott's the name that really catches your eye there. And that's a really interesting and kind of fun conversation to have, is a what if Green Bay would have selected Dak Prescott instead of Blake Martinez. Certainly, Green Bay would have had a hole at that inside linebacker position that they would have had to fill in another way. And it's tough to imagine that Green Bay still wouldn't have given, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, his super, you know, highest paid player in football deal. But that's an interesting conversation. What would have happened from there? Likely he shows well in preseason and shows that he has the capability of playing, and maybe Green Bay turns that fourth round pick in a couple of years as a really nice backup quarterback into a second round pick. But I think maybe the more interesting question there is, there was a season in there, as you all know, where Brett Hundley played a good portion of the season. What if that was Dak Prescott instead of Brett Hundley? And that was before Aaron Rodgers got his big contract. So we could go down that rabbit hole forever, and what would have happened, and who knows? Like I said, likely it just ends up being that, you know, Green Bay flips him maybe for a first or second round pick. But that's an interesting conversation and a fun one to kind of look back at. But you're not gonna complain about Blake Martinez in the fourth round, that's for sure. And you take a look at the next five linebackers who were selected. Kentrell Brothers, Antoine Williams, Jatavis Brown, Devontae Bond, and Josh Forrest. I mean, next to nothing. Green Bay kind of got the last best inside linebacker on the board. Jatavis Brown had a nice first and kind of second year of his career, and then just completely fell off and was never the same after that. So they got the best linebacker on the board, but certainly an interesting conversation had they selected Dak Prescott at that position. Next pick, 137 overall, fifth round, Dean Lowry. Another really nice pick, and this is a player who's already earned his second contract, has been a really solid player at the defensive line position. You know, I don't know that he necessarily lived up to his contract this past season, but I do think that this is another really solid selection. And again, pick 137, if you have the opportunity to select a player like Dean Lowry at that choice, again, you'll take it 100 times out of 100. You take a look at the next five picks that were on the board. Nothing too exciting. Seth Devolve, Cardale Jones, now in the XFL. Tajay Sharp, a solid receiver for the Titans. Zach Sanchez, who's out of the league. And Ronald Blair, a nice defensive lineman for the 49ers. A little bit undersized. Not sure he would have fit well within the defenses that Green Bay's ran over the course of the last couple years. But, you know, I think Green Bay got the best of the next five picks out of Devolve. You know, Jones, Sharp, Sanchez, and Blair. I'm going to take Dean Lowry out of that group. Now, that being said, you take a look at the next few defensive linemen selected, the next, you know, interior defensive linemen. I already mentioned one in Ronald Blair. Quentin Jefferson's had a nice career for the Seahawks and should get a decent free agent contract this season. But the next two, Matt Ioannidis and DJ Reader. Matt Ioannidis, most people aren't going to know. The Redskins have been a bad team, and they've got Jonathan Allen and a really, you know, nice group of defensive linemen there in Washington. It's really only the one strong position that they have. But Matt Ioannidis, under the radar, has had a really nice career and has been a really nice draft pick for them. So I think there's an argument to be made that Ioannidis would have been a better selection than Lowry, but it's close. But the next one for sure, DJ Reader, the Houston Texan, has been fantastic, and he's going to get paid this offseason as well. In fact, he's one of the players that I would love Green Bay to go after to kind of play next to Kenny Clark, fill some of those running gaps, let the, you know, do the dirty work on early downs so that Green Bay can get into some of those third and long situations and use their speed and athleticism. But, you know, I think Dean Lowry is a solid pick here with Matt Ioannidis and DJ Reader on the board. You know, maybe they could have done a little bit better, but again, you look at the next five picks and you look at the defensive linemen and the remainder of the draft as a whole, this is a really, really solid pick of Dean Lowry in the fifth round. Pick 163, not too many picks later. This is going to be another interesting conversation to have. Green Bay selected with pick 163, Trevor Davis. The next five picks, the next three, all really, really interesting. I get to butcher this name. Big V, Hilipalata Vadi Vaitai out of Philly, you know, who's drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles, who I have mentioned on the podcast recently as a potential right tackle option for Green Bay. He was the very next selection after Trevor Davis. The next selection after that, Tyreek Hill. The next selection after that, DJ Reader, who I just talked about. Then it was Marquis Christian and Spencer Durango. You can forget about those two. But Green Bay selected Trevor Davis over Big V, Tyreek Hill, and DJ Reader. And that's certainly a miss. You know what? Let's address Tyreek Hill first, because that's kind of the elephant in the room at this point. From a pure football standpoint, Tyreek Hill is one of the best players in the NFL. I have no problem with Green Bay not drafting him there for obvious reasons. I'm not going to get into that. This is a podcast that's meant for fun, not for confrontational topics. That's not what I want to be here for. But you can kind of make that determination on your own as to whether or not you would have sacrificed some of the off-field concerns for the on-field talent. Like I said, that's your call of whether or not you would have made that decision. But certainly just from a pure on-field standpoint, going from Trevor Davis to Tyreek Hill with him still being on the board, that stings from, again, just a pure on-field standpoint. Whether or not, you know, you were able to reconcile, you know, some of the off-field issues, again, that I'll leave that up to you. But from a pure talent standpoint, that's an interesting conversation to have. Big V would have been a nice selection and really would have been the player that Green Bay would have loved to have in Jason Spriggs to now step in for Brian Bulaga at right tackle, develop him for 4 years, move on from Bulaga, get younger, get more physical, get stronger, a little bit healthier. This would have been a really nice player to have. probably could have played maybe a little bit inside. Maybe they wouldn't have signed Billy Turner, but I think he's probably a pure tackle, you know, for the most part. But I think this would have been a really nice selection. And like I said, probably would have been somebody that could have, you know, kind of taken the reins from Brian Bulaga at this point. And then DJ Reader, we already talked about, just a really big run-stuffing defensive tackle. That would have been a huge selection for Green Bay. So definitely some meat left on the bone with this pick. Trevor Davis, you know, decent returner for you know, a couple seasons, but also made some pretty big mistakes and never really developed as a receiver. Green Bay was able to at least get back a little bit of draft capital from the Raiders this past year, but you know, at pick 163, you're not expecting a ton. I'd say they probably got about what was average, maybe even a little bit above average for pick 163, but there was certainly some talent left on the board there. Next five receivers that were taken after Trevor Davis, we already talked about Tyreek Hill, Rashard Higgins for the Browns, Moritz Boehringer, who is now, you know, basically has been a practice squad. They've tried to move him to tight end, has done nothing. Keenan Reynolds, who was a quarterback out of Navy, never done anything. I think he's now in the XFL as well. And then Jakeem Grant, you know, really great returner and a better receiver than Trevor Davis. You know, like I said, you can reconcile how you will the Tyreek Hill decision, but if you even just compare apples to apples, Trevor Davis versus Jakeem Grant. Grant's the better returner. He's a better kick returner. He's a better punt returner. He's a better receiver. He's a better gadget player. So that definitely you can say there, and there's no off-field issues there. Certainly a short, small player, but an electric one, and one that would have fit a little bit better probably than Trevor Davis did. Let's move to the sixth round. Pick 200 was Kyle Murphy, the offensive tackle out of Stanford. This was actually Green Bay's last selection. Next five picks on the board, Brandon Allen, Anthony Zettel, Daddy Nicholas, Jordan Lucas, Harlan Miller, nothing there. I mean, Brandon Allen started a couple games for the Broncos last year, didn't show him, you know, a bunch. You know, he would have competed with Tim Boyle for the backup spot over the course of the last couple of years. I don't think he moves the needle in any direction. And, you know, frankly, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a Tim Boyle stan, I think Tim Boyle is the better prospect between him and Brandon Allen. So no harm there. The next five offensive linemen taken, Joey Hunt, Ted Karras, Donovan Clark, Vidal Alexander, and Austin Blythe. Austin Blythe, really nice career. So there was one player left on the board kind of there in Austin Blythe. That would have been a really nice pick. Couple other positions that were there. Landon Roberts has had a really nice inside linebacker career for the Patriots, and Jalen Mills has had a pretty solid career as a corner for the Eagles. But not a ton there. And you know, again, you get to pick 200 and you're going to miss on a lot of guys. Kyle Murphy actually started a couple games, provided some depth for a while. I think probably, again, he's probably above average or around average of what you're kind of expecting to get out of pick 200. Never really turned out. I think he's still hanging around the league. I think he was on a practice squad last year. I didn't look it up, but not a brutal pick, but you know, kind of, again, what you expect out of pick 200. So that finishes everything up. That was the 2016 NFL draft for the Packers. It was Kenny Clark, pick 27. It was Jason Spriggs in the second round, followed by Kyler Fackrell, Blake Martinez, Dean Lowry, Trevor Davis, and then Kyle Murphy. So overall, a pretty solid draft. I mean, picking up Kenny Clark, getting, you know, that's a pretty home run pick, you know, for the end of round one, and certainly has exceeded expectations. Pretty much an F grade for moving up to take Jason Spriggs, a solid selection with Fackrell and Blake Martinez and Dean Lowry back to back to back. Trevor Davis and, you know, Kyle Murphy, again, kind of what you expect out of those later round selections. You get a little bit of production out of them for a couple years. They don't end up being anything special, and you kind of move on. And the fact they were able to, you know, kind of get some of that draft capital back from Trevor Davis with the trade the last year helps that as well. So that is my recap of the 2016 draft. I think it's always fun to look back at these drafts and see exactly how Green Bay performed. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Join me back tomorrow, as again, I'm joined by special guest Bailey Burmaster. We'll have a ton to talk about in kind of more recent and current events, not going back to 2016, but this is a one-off fun episode to kind of discuss as a emergency fill-in. So thanks for joining me today. Always appreciate you as always, but until next time, go Pack, go.